Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Secular and worldly philosophies comprised the efforts of fallen men to determine, apart from the Scriptures, the ultimate causes in the earth and the universe. They seek to answer questions like, how did the universe come about? Why was I born? What is my purpose in life? The Holy Spirit calls these worldly philosophies vain deceit. Only the Bible has the correct answers to these important questions. Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of verses 1 through 7.
The Gnostics were a pseudo-intellectual group of individuals who claimed to have a higher knowledge of the mysterious things about the realm of the spirit world. They were anti-Trinitarian. They were anti-deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. They identified the Spirit of God simply as a force or an energy, but not a person. The Gnostics had their books of inspired literature that were filled with twisted interpretation of biblical words by which you were initiated into their little web of lies and deceits. And their whole life was bound not upon the truth of God's word, but upon these extra-biblical, unbiblical words. How many of you know that all that you need to know about the character of God, as much as we can know, is found in this book? About the character of the true God, but the person of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel. It is all in this book. All of it is in this book. The revelation of the true Jesus is in this book. You know, the greatest asset in withstanding any of all false heretical teachings, false perceptions of the living God, is by being grounded and rooted in the biblical revelation of the truth that we find in Scripture. I love those words, hearts knit together and full assurance. The Bible gives to those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ full assurance of their salvation. In fact, Peter writes that you and I can make our calling and election sure. And that eternal security stems from the gospel message that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone, and the emphasis is on the work of Christ from the cross to the throne. And Paul challenges these haughty intellectuals, these godless philosophies and mystics of his day with the bold claim that the life and redemptive work of Jesus Christ sums up all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the wisdom and knowledge that you and I need to know about God, to know about Christ. It's found right here in this book, right here. It's all here. So you have God's wisdom, and then you have wisdom that is not from God. In James chapter 3, verse 15, we learn that there's a wisdom that descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. In 2 Corinthians 1:12, we read about fleshly wisdom. And this wisdom bounds on the internet, this fleshly wisdom, this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. It abounds on the internet. The Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness. They denied the creation account. In the beginning, God. I've told you many times, I love watching documentaries. Nature documentaries. I find them fascinating. You know, you look at animals and you see the creativity of God. I mean, did God run out of black paint or white paint when he made a zebra? A kangaroo. I look at these creatures. And I go, God, you are so wise. And they'll show you all of this footage. And then eventually, the godless philosophy, well, billions of years ago, because they don't believe the account of creation. I read a story years ago about Sir Isaac Newton, who was a born-again believer. But there were many scientists who did not believe in the Bible or in creation. And the story goes that one day, one of these colleagues of Sir Isaac Newton visited him, and he had built in the downstairs laboratory, he built a little replica of the planets revolving around the sun. And so his colleague comes over, and they get into this conversation about creation. The guy says, I just don't believe it. So Newton says, hey, let's go downstairs. Takes his friend downstairs, and his colleague looks. He goes, wow, this is really cool. How did it happen? And Newton says something like this, you're not going to believe it. I was upstairs. I heard an explosion. I come downstairs, and look at this. And the colleague says, that's nuts. That's crazy. That couldn't happen. He says, that's what you believe. There is going to be a big bang, you know, but that's at the end of the story. When God brings in the new heaven and the new earth. There is a wisdom of this world that is foolishness with God. But it's in Jesus Christ that you and I have been given heavenly, holy wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to know about the power of God? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know about the wisdom of God? Look at Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, talking about full assurance, says, of him, that is the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then it says, in order that he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. All glory being to God. In chapter 3, we're going to read the passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. One of the ways that you and I develop or build up wisdom is by getting into the Word of God, treasuring the Word of God, reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, but most importantly, applying it to your life. You see, because if you don't apply it, it means you've never heard it. Reading it and applying it, the wisdom of God, it's in the Word of God. And Paul writes, he says in verse 4, I'm writing this to you, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words. And so Paul's immediate concern is to guard these believers from delusion. Someone seeking to lead them astray. And there are millions of voices on the internet, beloved, who are seeking to beguile or deceive born-again Christians, trying to convince them there's more than the Bible. There's things that you don't know. I think one of the saddest things as a pastor is to hear people get wrapped up into these philosophies, these godless philosophies, and simply either lose their faith or turn away from God. Which makes me question whether they knew him at all in the first place. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, listen to how Paul put it. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. How do you know if someone is preaching another Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit? You compare it to this. You compare it to this. And I've said this many times too. You know why it's so important for a Mormon, or a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Jehovah's Witness, or pick your cult, to get their literature in your hands, because you would never come to those heretical conclusions if you just read the Bible. This is all you need. This is it. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Listen to how Paul, with the same concern, tells us the importance of being rooted in the Word of God. In Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things who is the head, even in Christ. Peter would say, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that is very evident from church history up to the present time, these deceivers, these false teachers and false prophets, you know who they love to eat for lunch? Christians who don't understand the Word of God. They prey on that. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, we are told, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with food, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. If you and I are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you are going to be, and I would be, easy prey for clever charlatans. Now, some people really have a difficulty with reading, actual reading and comprehending. And they say, Pastor Ray, what should I do? And I encourage them to get an audio copy of the Scriptures and listen to the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you have a difficult time reading, listen to the Word of God. You know, all spiritual deception from the time Christ rose again to the present day, from within or outside the church, is the activity of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How do we offset these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Well, when Jesus and the devil were there on the pinnacle of the temple, in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, and the devil questioned Jesus whether or not he was the Son of God, how did Jesus reply? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. It's powerful. And because that was done, nobody else was there. The Holy Spirit's revealing that to us. Because we too, the enemy says, did God really say in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth? Did God really say that he created them male and female? Did God really say? And you go, yes, it is written. It is written. It is written. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what all Scripture was when Paul was writing this? Genesis to Malachi. And amazingly, there are people telling you and I today, now that Christ has come, we don't need the Old Testament. Really? Of course we need the Old Testament. The Old Testament is rich with doctrine of the person of Christ, the gospel, what's going to happen in the end times. The New Testament simply reveals what the Old Testament concealed. And one of the amazing things about going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you can find the gospel in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. You find the gospel everywhere as it points to when Christ would come. We need the whole Bible. It's given by inspiration of God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That's why throughout chapters 1 and 2, Paul is stressing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Christ's deity and his sufficiency both to save believers and to bring them into spiritual maturity. And he talks about how he wasn't with them. He was absent in the flesh, but with them in the spirit. When Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison, one of the prison epistles. And so he wasn't able to be present with the Colossians. But note, when you read the prison epistles, Paul never said that he was a prisoner of Rome. Legally, technically, he was. How does he identify himself? He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, once you come to Christ, you and I now become his prisoner. And when Paul was put into prison, his fellowship with God, his ministry as a pastor didn't change. It was just in a different location. What a life-transforming thing the gospel is. It causes us to see everything completely different. Paul just accepted the fact, I'm in prison, and as long as I'm in prison, Lord, I want to be used by you. Now, let me ask you this morning. Who are you a prisoner of? You're somebody's prison. Or let's put it like this. You say, well, my prison is my job. No, that's where your ministry is. My prison is where I live. No, that's where your ministry is. Fill in the blank. My prison is, well, that particular prison becomes your opportunity to glorify and magnify God. What a perspective Paul had. Notice he says, I am with you in the Spirit. I'm rejoicing and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. The word order and steadfastness, are military terms that describe an army that is solidly united against the enemy. We are one in Christ. Nobody in this room who is born again is your enemy. They are your brother. They are your sister. The enemy is the devil. You say, what about the world? That's our mission field. You see, that's why we need to have a biblical perspective. You look at the world, it's crazy. Some of the things, many of the things that they are doing are so ungodly, unholy, disgusting. But the moment that you and I look at that, we begin to attack them. Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and attack sinners. Preach the gospel. That's what will turn them around. That's what turned you and I around. You're a soldier. Maybe you've never been in the military, but you're a soldier. You've been drafted. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So in that sense, you're no longer a civilian who can come and go how you please. When you're in the army, when you're in the military, yes, sir, they tell you when you sleep, when you get up, where you go. We are under new management today. How many of you like the new manager, Jesus Christ? Yes. The Colossians at this point, their ranks hadn't been broken, but the Gnostics were attacking. Beloved, whenever and wherever God's divine order on any given subject is ignored, if it's ignored, despised, or denied, if it's what God says about the order in the home, the order in marriage, the order when it comes to creation, the order of church, the order of government, whenever God's word is contradicted, you have chaos, you have anarchy, you have confusion, you have every nation under heaven. Order, steadfast. In other words, every part of the body of Christ is called by God, gifted by God, to occupy a certain place, just like your human body. Look at it. Well, look at it. Your arms are here. Wouldn't it be strange if somebody walked in with one arm and then one leg? You'd say, what's wrong with you? You're out of place. And just like our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, spiritually speaking, God equips us, and he intends that we not compete with one another, but complement one another in love, that the work of God in getting the gospel out and making disciples could take place. So find your lane. Get involved. I feel really bad at the people that have the idea that I no longer need fellowship. I can do church as a lone ranger. No, you can't. Nobody can. And I point out the many times that Jesus, as it was his custom, went to the temple. Imagine Jesus going to church. Imagine being the one giving the message that day. And here's the Son of God. What is he going to, what's Jesus going to, I'm convinced that if Jesus had an iPad back then, he would be the one that would be taken. Oh, that was a really good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm convinced that when they said, now let's worship Jesus, and this is just my own thought. Maybe he had the worst voice, but he had the best heart. And he would just sing, yes, glory. In fact, I think it's in Hebrews. Says, you will hear my voice in the midst of the congregation. Here's the thing. Because we're not in heaven and none of us are perfect, we drive one another crazy from time to time, don't we? Don't we? Don't look at me like, that's only you thinking like that, Pastor Ray. No, no, you think like that too. I know you do. And yet we need one another. And sometimes it's when we drive one another crazy that God wants to teach us a lesson, maybe about long-suffering, maybe about patience, maybe about receiving correction. Everything is now learning how we can maintain this love in the Spirit. In fact, one of the ways of love is faithful are the wounds of a friend. So there's so much about love that is not this sloppy agape. It's right to the heart. Kind of thing. But where does it all come from? It all comes from Christ. Just as there is order in the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, he designs order in our homes and in the church. Then look at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I want you to take note of this. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Over and over, the scriptures liken the Christian life to a walk. Ephesians 5:2, there's many more. We are to walk in love. Ephesians 5:8, we are to walk in the light. Colossians 4:5, we are to walk in wisdom. And here we are told to walk in Christ the same way we originally received Christ, by faith. You see, the heretics in Paul's day and today will always seek to undermine the great salvation that we have by grace alone, through faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ, with something like jumping through religious hoops, observing holy days, eating or not eating certain foods. In other words, a false gospel will make salvation synergistic. What God does and then what I do. Salvation is what God does.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, KoinoniaFellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.